You have a story that you tell yourself about yourself, and that story doesn't necessarily have to be true. P.S. You can also change that story. I'm changing my story. I'm going to tell you that I went to quite an interesting party. I'm going to give you all of the crazy Miami details. I am also quite happy with the new story that I'm telling myself, and I want you to examine the stories you're telling yourself. We're going to talk about meeting people in real life who don't look like their Instagram. We are going to talk about filters. We're going to talk about the controversy around castor oil. Simmer down, everybody. We're going to talk about mean comments. People say mean things sometimes on social media. The difference between how I look at women, other women today, and don't compare myself versus how I used to compare myself and why I think that is. And a lot of other things. So thanks for keeping me company. I'm dying to know what I'm keeping you company doing while you're listening to this. Let's get to it. Okay, so let's get into it. Yeah, shocking. I went to a party. It shouldn't be shocking because, as you know, I have attempted to turn a new leaf and become a more social individual. I'm changing the narrative. We all have a narrative. We all tell ourselves certain things. We say, I'm shy. I hate small talk. I am not social. I am social. I'm sad. I can make friends. I can't make friends. People screw me over. People adore me. Like, whatever. We all have our own little stories that we tell ourselves. And, you know, whatever that story is that you're telling yourself, you, by telling yourself that story, you also make it your reality, right? And I am no longer telling myself that I don't do social things. I'm doing maybe three social things this week. I went to a party yesterday. Okay, so I went to this Miami party that, I'm going to say it wrong, Vizcaya? It's like a museum. Well, it's a museum today, but it was originally this humongous estate built by, not that you need a history lesson, but I'm going to give you a little bit of one. So, because I took my parents there. And so it was built by this guy named James Deering. And I don't know, maybe he made like farming equipment or some kind of equipment. Super duper rich guy. And he built this insane Italian Renaissance mansion. It's not even a mansion. It's just like this expansive estate. It's like a villa. And it's just filled with European art and furnishings and, I mean, like museum quality. It's pretty much, I think it's close to original state. It's like a masterpiece. It's like the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen. And it's built on, I mean, acres of the most expansive garden like that surrounds this villa. I mean, it's a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece in architect. It's just got all of these Italian and French designs, and it's got statues and this open courtyard and orchids. And it's like the grounds are these beautiful gardens where they have like, you know, little, what are they called? I forget all the, like, use your words, Shalene, use your words. I don't know what you call them. Like cobblestone pathways that are all lined by beautiful like flower beds and vibrant colors, and just everything is so gorgeous. Like the garden itself, you're just like, where am I? Am I in Europe right now? I don't understand. I do not, like all the like hedges, the way you would expect them to look in Europe. And you literally drive there. It's like 15 minutes from where we live. And you're like, where am I? The story, this is just my hypothesis. The story is that this James Deering feller, he was very, 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 very wealthy. And he built this insane estate. And he never married. And did you hear my little tone right there? He never married. And he had lots of male friends. And they would come and stay. And he had like a special little room. Anyways, I know your brain's going there. My brain's going there too. I wish someone would like write a tell-all story. So this is like in the 20th century. Anyways, when he died, apparently it was like left to like cousins and stuff. And they couldn't maintain it. So eventually, I'm probably getting the story wrong, but I think the state took over. I'm getting ready. So if you hear my sound quality changing, it's because I'm walking around. Anyways, now it is a preserved museum. And people have events there. And so that's what I went to yesterday, was this event, this annual event. I think they call it like the Ladies Hat Day or something like that. What it is a fundraiser for the museum, allegedly. But really what it is an opportunity for very, very, very wealthy Miami ladies to dress up for each other. And my theory is this. Please settle an argument for me. I think we dress up for each other more than anyone else, even when we go out. Now, yes, of course. Of course I, you know, put on a short, tight dress when it's date night because that's for my husband. But like if I'm also when I'm getting dressed and buying things, like, and I just think when we all go out, we kind of dress for each other and we really enjoy looking at outfits and hair and makeup. Like I kind of think some of that we do for each other and it's fun. So this is like the mecca of that. So this luncheon, first of all, like the tickets to have to go to this thing, like just to have a lunch, it's all obviously donation, but it's a pretty penny. Like some of the tickets were as much as I think like $2,000 all the way up. That's what I'm saying. All the way up to $2,000. I'm sure you could get like a $500 lunch ticket, but come on for lunch. Anyways, it's all tax donations. And the money that was at this place. Now I was wearing $15 faux earrings. What do you call them? Like a cubic zirconian. And I always think to myself, oh, you can't tell the difference. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I thought you can't tell the difference because I can't tell the difference when I look in the mirror. But when you're standing across from a woman who is wearing like a $5,000 gown and she's wearing like all these diamond necklaces and earrings and rings and bracelets, you're like, oh, those are not CZs. Those are freaking real. But not much else is real. You know what I'm saying? Like it was such a feast for the eyes. There was some of the best and the worst plastic surgery I've ever seen. Thank you very little. And but the hats. Okay, so it is more outrageous than even the, I think, because I mean I've only been to the Kentucky Derby once. But you know, you've seen the hats on hat days. Anyways, the hats at this thing were outrageous. So fun. I cannot wait. I'm already planning on what I'm going to wear next year. And I found a great hat on Etsy. But there's also like the girls I went with, they found great hats on Amazon and you could totally embellish them. So there's this place where all the women here, apparently like that's the thing to do. You got to get your hat from the certain hat lady. And her hats are all the way up to $3,000. And you know, I'm a crafty gal. So when I look at a hat that's $3,000, I'm like, okay, wait a second. I can buy the base. I can buy that, like, whatever, that summer hat for $15. And I can drive my ass down to Michael's and glue a giant, you know, bow onto it and some feathers and then have it dripping in rhinestones and then glue a bird onto the top. Like, my head is like, oh, I'm making this. I'm starting a new business. Shalene's hats, because I'm telling you, like these hats were so fun. I hope that you hear this in time to see. You know what I'll do? I'm going to post. I don't normally do this. You guys know this. I don't normally post a reel of like what I'm doing or what I've done. Typically, it's like I try to have a message in my reels or it's just something funny that happened. But I'm going to try to post up a reel so you can see some of these hats. It's amazeballs. Like it was insane. But I think the other thing that was just so interesting is like these wealthy, wealthy women and they, it's not about at all like, I don't know. I feel like the things that I've been to, the status is how many followers do you have, but not at something like this. Something like this, none of these women have like big followings or anything because they have big diamonds and they have big money and they don't care about your Instagram following. You know what I mean? It's just a kind of like, oh, it was just really interesting. So we live on a really nice island. It's called Palm Island. But apparently if you're, that's not rich, like the really wealthy people here live on Fisher Island. And the way that I know that is, I can't even tell you cause it'll be too obvious, but it just, let me tell you, if a gal who I met yesterday lived on Fisher Island, I promise you this, she was going to work that into the conversation within the first like two sentences. I was going to say three sentences. No, like the first two sentences, they were, because it's like they find a way to lead with that, because apparently that's the status. Like that you, if you live on Fisher Island, you're telling everyone everything they need to know right then and there. So I'm learning all of these things. And it was just beautiful. Like just to see these outfits, it was so, 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 so fun. I mean, for the eyes. I'm not, of course, it was fun to go to because we had a fun table that Jessica Cristobal put together for us. So we had a really fun table and great ladies. And it was just long enough. You know what I mean? The thing that took the longest was just like getting ready. Oh, here's the other thing. I got to wear my mother of the groom dress from Brock's wedding. Because if you recall, it rained on us. So I only wore that dress for like, I don't know, 20 minutes. And then I changed into dry clothing and because I was freezing. After I gave the mother of the groom toast, I changed into a dance appropriate outfit so she could drop it low. And then I never wore that dress again. And I was going to sell it, but then like, I don't know, do I hold on to it? Maybe there's something else I can wear it to. Now I've worn it to, and it's going to be featured on my Instagram story. So now I think I will sell it. If you're looking for a, you'll see it. You reach out and let me know if you're like, okay, Shalene, I want that dress. And we will donate. I, by the way, anytime I sell any of my clothes, all the donations always go to Alzheimer's. That's like our important charity. I have a Poshmark too. But anyways, I digress. I was happy to wear that dress. I found a hat that matched it perfectly that I found from, in case you're looking, if you ever need a hat, it's called Young Hats on Etsy. Question. Have you ever gone to therapy? Have you ever talked to a therapist? I was shocked. The other day, I was listening to a huge podcaster who's always talking about mindset, always talking about personal development. And I was shocked to hear him say he had never gone to therapy. And I thought, how is that possible? And also, I thought to myself, wow, this person could make a lot of strides if they did go to therapy. But I think therapy scares people. You know, it's intimidating, and it shouldn't be. It is a game changer. It's how you can take it to the next level. It's not as scary as you think. Maybe you've never gone to therapy because you didn't have the time to find somebody, or you don't know who to ask, or you just feel uncomfortable about meeting with somebody in person, or you didn't know if you could afford it. And that's why I'm really excited to recommend you Talkspace. They do everything online. Talkspace makes getting help so much easier, so much more affordable, so much more accessible. And at Talkspace, you can sign up online. You get a personalized match for you, a therapist who's right for you with the things that you want to work on. Typically, they match you with somebody like within 48 hours. So it's incredibly convenient. You get a virtual session with a licensed therapist from the comfort of your own home. And Talkspace lets you send messages to your therapist anytime, which is kind of nice. And they reply, so you don't have to wait for your next session to talk about something that's on your mind. As a listener of The Shalene Show, you get $80 off your first month with Talkspace. Here's the link you need to go to. And we're going to put this in the show description as well, but write this down. Talkspace.com/Shalene, okay? When you use that link, they're going to match you with a licensed therapist today, and you get $80 off. It's Talkspace.com/Shalene. That's the link. It's also a great way to show support for the show, but more importantly, it's a great way to show support for yourself. Talkspace.com/Shalene. And then tonight, I might just have a few people over to watch Love is Blind, the weddings. Have you been watching? It's just so interesting. So interesting to see these early, and you don't know how much of it is editing, right? I mean, we just don't. I assume a lot of it is editing because whenever there is a finale like this, they don't want you to be able to predict it like, oh, for sure that couple's getting married, or oh, for sure that couple is there, that's not going to work out. So they definitely show us editing that makes you go, oh, don't do it, right? They do that because they want you to be shocked at the finale. So I am excited to watch that tonight. I do like predicting how these things are going to turn out, but here's what I've figured out about Love is Blind, which is a great show. You know the premise, right? So they date each other, but through a wall. They can't see each other, but they have to get to know each other in the way that you would when you're dating. I'm getting dressed. And they fall in love. legitimately fall in love sight unseen, and they think to themselves, I don't even care what this person looks like because I am so in love. And it's, you get all the feels when you're watching it, like you, and it's so amazing when you're watching it and you know, okay, that person is like, you know, a scale of 1 to 10. Okay, that person is a 9 and they've just fallen in love with a 4 or a 5 or whatever number, right? Like someone who's not the same number as them. We all know our number. Simmer down. It's a thing. Everybody knows their number, I think, kind of. Within that, this isn't my opinion. It's like scientifically proven that if you ask people, what number do you think you are? They kind of know. Compared to other people like their age, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, so it's very interesting. You as a viewer, when you're watching, oh my gosh, this 9 is falling in love with this 7. How are they going to feel when they meet each other? And then you get to see it, right? And it's pretty fascinating. And the thought is that, you know, you fall in love with someone sight unseen and, you know, love is blind. But is love blind? But is love blind? That's the question. I have my own theories. I just think if there's not a strong physical connection, I don't know how you make that work, you know? I mean, I've dated guys before that, like, I was physically attracted to them, but they were, I'm thinking one person in particular, dumb as a doorknob, dumb. It's the only way I can put it, just dumb. We didn't date for long, that's for sure. And because I, like, super attractive, but, like, not attractive once I knew how dumb he was. You know what I mean? Like, just, and you know how I define someone who's dumb? You don't get my sense of humor. All right, then you're dumb. Sorry. But I've also dated guys where it's like, oh, this should be perfect. Like, in terms of that connection. Like, I've dated a guy, I'm thinking one guy in particular, who I dated him, and if I dated him through a wall and couldn't see him, I would have fallen in love with him. But I wasn't attracted to him physically at all. Ew, like, oh. And I just tried so hard. Because I knew, like, this on paper, this is like the perfect type of guy. But everything works out as it should because I actually did find the perfect guy who had all of those things. So is love blind? I don't know. And I'm going to go to an event on Thursday night to support my friend Amanda. So look at me being social. Trying to be social and trying to live my best life. And that's why you're probably, if you listen to this episode, you're probably realizing that you're getting it a little late. And that's because I really, truly do believe life is more important than work. Life is more important than like constantly getting ahead, got to do this, got to. I just don't want to get, I'm prone to get caught in that trap. So I always have to put boundaries on myself and remind myself what matters most, ask myself, what am I going to regret if tomorrow were my last day? Would I regret that I didn't get the podcast up, or would I regret that I missed out on spending time with quality people or having an experience? And I think that's one of the takeaways I'm getting from like doing this whole, you know, Patreon breakdown of the Hollises. Thank you everybody for your feedback. Y'all, wait. Episode 6 comes out in a few days. And you're welcome. Episode 6 is pretty interesting. Been working now on it for a week and a half. So, you know, when I've got a little bit more time like this, I can really dig in. And I'm excited for you to listen to it. One thing I did want to mentioned that I experienced again yesterday, you know, being out in the wild, is I'll meet someone who's like, wait a second, I think I follow, are you on Instagram? I'm like, who isn't on Instagram? But they'll be like, I think I follow you on Instagram. And I personally take it as a compliment when someone says, oh, you're so much prettier in person. I'm like, oh, thanks. Like, I've heard people say that that's offensive. No, I don't. I think that's like, thank God, because this is going to sound super catty, super bitchy, but it's just true. There's so many people, when I meet them in person, I'm like, oh, they kind of look like what they post online, but not really. I mean, there's a resemblance, but, and it's because people use so many filters. I want to take just a moment to talk about a way that you can actually improve your skin and hair while you're sleeping. More importantly, I think it's about doing things that improve, that take into consideration that the way that we age has a lot to do with our lifestyle choices and the things that we're doing. And one of the things that makes us look older is the way that we sleep. Believe it or not, your pillowcase makes a huge difference. Now, I have very fine, baby fine hair, so it tangles when I sleep. I did not realize what a huge difference a pillowcase can make. If you're someone who sleeps on your side and your face is smushed into your pillow, using a silk pillowcase makes a huge difference. And the one that I use is from Blissey. Now, they've got lots of other products as well. They're hypoallergenic. If you're someone who's dealing with hot flashes at night or you just overheat, these pillowcases actually help to regulate your temperature. It keeps you cooler. And these are the little things that make a big difference. Getting better sleep makes you look younger. Sleeping on the right pillowcase can help improve the way your skin looks and the way your hair looks. Everybody loves them. They have a ton of different prints and colors. They obviously make a great gift. You know, get a couple of them, put them in storage so that when you're like, oh my gosh, it's so-and-so's birthday, I completely forgot. You could give them a Blissey pillowcase. They've got options for literally anyone. Even men love them. They have over 1 million raving fans, and you could be next. Guess what? As a listener of The Chalene Show, you can try your pillowcase 60 nights risk-free. That's like 2 months. So check it out. You have nothing to lose. Go to Blissey, BLISSY.com/Chalene, and you'll get an additional 30% off. That's Blissey, BLISSY.com/Chalene. Use code Chalene, and you'll get that additional 30% off, and your skin and your hair will thank you. And I don't know. I mean, trust me, I like the way I look with a filter too, especially those filters that like make your nose skinny and your eyes a little more like bigger, and they make your lips a little fuller and your jaw a little tighter and your hair a little fluffier and your skin a lot smoother. Yeah. And your makeup perfect. I love those filters, but they're dangerous to use because then you're like, well, that you start thinking like, yeah, that's what I look like on a good day. No, not even on a good day do I look like that. No, with a filter, I look like that. And there are so many people that I think they start using those filters and they can't stop. They literally can't stop. Every single story, every single reel, they're using a filter. And I don't think that they're trying to like confuse the public. I think it's messed with their own heads. I think they think like, I can't stop now because I've always used a filter. No, you should stop. You really should. Because it's messing with your head. And then when people meet you in person, because the reason why I think people use a filter is like, because you're worried about what people think you look like. But people aren't thinking about that unless you've made them think about it, because now they have to think about what you look like and they have to judge it because they're like, wait, that's not what I remember them looking like online. And there was a lot of that yesterday. People who I met when I'm like, huh, well, this is interesting. This person does not look like that on Instagram. And I don't know, I would rather someone say you look better in person. I don't want someone to say like, oh, huh. You know what I mean? That's just me. I'd rather someone look at my Instagram stuff and go like, she's not that pretty, or like, she could really use a filter. I would rather them say that than meet me in person and go and think that I don't look like myself. So I'm not, you can do what you want to do. I'm just saying, if you're using filters because it's messed with your own head, just slowly work away, slowly. And here's how you wean yourself off the filters. You find a filter that barely changes your look and start using that. And then just go to doing just the Paris swipe on Instagram. Because I do use the Paris swipe. The Paris swipe, it's just like, it's the first swipe when you go to Instagram. That just makes things a little brighter and a little smoother. That's all. It gives you a little help. That's all. But it's not going to change what you look like. So that would be my recommendation. And then eventually you can just post with nothing. And listen, your girl, I've used a filter in the past. I certainly have, but I for all those reasons, I really try not to, because I don't want to shock people when they meet me. I don't want them to go, and I've had this happen. I know I've told you before when I've interviewed somebody for my podcast, and when I got them on Zoom, I'm like, oh, this must be the assistant. That drastic. I am not kidding. If we were sitting next to each other and it were appropriate and I could trust you, and I could say, like, look, don't show anyone this and don't tell anyone when I'm showing you this, because I'm not one to gossip, but let me just show you what this person really looks like. And I pull up like a screenshot of the Zoom and they're like, no way, it's a different person. I'm like, I know. You don't want to do that. That's not good, you know? So here's the thing with YouTube. I do this YouTube like once a week, right? And I did an episode last week on castor oil. Who knew castor oil was so controversial? Oh my God. So I need to do a follow-up episode on it because first of all, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. First of all, people are rude. Their comments on YouTube, not nearly as nice as the comments you're going to get on Instagram, or I guess because people on Instagram have been there forever. I don't know, my homies, but YouTube people say whatever the F they want. It's like, okay, with some of the meanest comments. Okay, you ready? I screenshot them. You have a scary face. Okay, didn't ask you. Also, I think you looked better before. Now you look older. I am older, bitch. God, what is wrong with people? You're so rude. Luckily, I've got thick skin. And I'm like, no, I don't. Look, I look better now, so shut up. Anyways, yeah, people say some crazy things. And so I didn't know, like, castor oil is like, there are some, I just need to do a follow-up on it. So apparently there's some drug interactions. Castor oil is pretty powerful. It's a powerful thing. It's not just an oil. So I need to do a follow-up on things you probably shouldn't do with castor oil, and there's plenty of them. But I guess the good news is about the YouTube comments is I wouldn't have known about those things. And I thought I did a pretty good job of my research. But, you know, when I did my research, I was doing my research on specific things. I wasn't looking for drug interactions or ways you shouldn't use castor oil. So I'll do a mini follow-up. But anyways, who knew? Like, this video is viral. It's like out of control. I'm like, it's so weird. And so many people are like saying that castor oil stains their clothes and it stains their sheets. And so I need to dig a little further because it doesn't stain for me. So I'm wondering if there's a type or a way that people are putting it on, or maybe I need to explain how I use it. I don't know, but it's kind of surprising. Like, there's so many different uses for it. And I'll get further into that. I will say that being here in Miami, like, people wear very tight clothing. There's a lot of plastic surgery. Like, every woman here looks so perfect, I think. And I was thinking to myself, if I were living here back in my 30s, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it so much, because I don't care. I'm celebrate other women. I don't compare myself. I really don't. But I think I did in my 30s. So I'm curious, those of you who are 50 and older, did you stop comparing yourself to other women? Or have you found that as you've aged, you compare yourself much less? Because I have found that to be very, very true for myself. Like, I just enjoy looking at these younger women. I enjoy looking at their clothes. I enjoy looking at the interesting things that they've done to their bodies. I enjoy it. I don't look at any of these women and think, oh, I need to do that, or I'm in competition with them. And I don't know if that's age or if it's because I'm very happily married and I get lots of, you know, great feedback from him. I'm curious. I really, really, really want your feedback. Please, if you're a pod squatter, or you are, oh, by the way, Pod Squad. Oh my gosh. If you're Pod Squad or Patreon, leave your comments in those places. But Pod Squad. So as we're watching Love is Blind, there are people who didn't connect with, they didn't get proposed to while they're in the pods, right? And so there's this party where the people who were in the pods, who maybe had fallen in love with somebody, but didn't get proposed to, right? They intentionally bring them back to like a barbecue. And it's basically to entice. Okay, so let's say that you are a guy who's like a 9 and you, or an eight or whatever. I don't know if there's any nines on the show. And, you know, whatever. You're a guy who's, his number's high. And he's fallen in love with two girls in the pod, right? And one of the girls that he falls in love with is, let's just say she's like a nine. And the other girl that he falls in love with, let's just say that she's like a six, right? And he can't see him. So he proposes to the six, right? And then you can tell that he's really not that into her. Let's just hypothetically speaking. I know you're laughing right now. And then they have this barbecue, and the nine, who he fell in love with through the wall and never got to see, shows up to the party, and girlfriend is like, boobs are out, ass is out. Like she knows what she's doing, right? Okay. So they do that just to like, for the drama of it, and it works. It's very, very effective. It's super funny. Anyways, when these people walk into the party, underneath their, they put their names, right? They'll put like Jennifer or whatever. And underneath it, because she's, or they are not some of the engaged people, they put underneath it Pod Squad. And I'm like, oh, Brett, they're calling them Pod Squad. And he goes, yeah, they're from the pod. I go, I know, but Pod Squad? Pod Squad is people who listen to the Chalene show. He goes, I don't think you invented it. I'm like, I think I did. He goes, no, Chalene, that's not something you invented. I'm like, I think I did. So where did when did we start calling it the Pod Squad? Like so long ago. I'm not going to say with certainty that I'm the person that came up with that term, but I didn't hear anyone else use it. I'm sure someone did before I did, but I'm going to say it again. You know, I invented sumo burpee. Until someone can prove me wrong, I invented the term sumo burpee. Anyways, put it on my tombstone. It's my second proudest accomplishment. It's funny to me how many of you really related to last Wednesday's episode. I told the whole thing about my, nightmare story on a cruise ship. That part, no one commented on, really. But which I was like, God, I'm like telling this like crazy, hysterical, embarrassing story. No one commented on that because the part that people really, really related to, which I thought was interesting, is the feeling you have when things are in disarray and or you see things that are out of place and how it makes you feel and how like those details grab your attention and they derail your attention and they can consume you. It was very interesting to me how many of you were like, this is me. And it was equal, not equal, but I mean, obviously I had just as many people say like, that's my husband or I can't relate. But I thought what was most, I guess, reassuring is how many of you were like, oh, you've just described my struggle. And I just have to say to those of you who that's going on for you, that doesn't necessarily, that is not a diagnosis of ADHD. It could be something else. It could be OCD. It could be a lot of things. I just don't ever want anyone to think that because everything I describe, and I have been diagnosed with ADHD, means that you necessarily have ADHD. But what it should tell you is that you might want to go get a proper diagnosis. And by proper diagnosis, I think someone who specializes in ADHD, obviously I went to the Amen Clinic, but there are doctors who are very adept and this is their expertise. And I think that's important because if you just go to your GP and they ask a bunch of questions, like they're just not an expert at it. But at least it's a start. I'm just saying, and some of you have also said, why would I, if I pretty much know I have it, do I really need to go get a diagnosis? You don't have to, but it's like, it's kind of like doing the 23andMe. You're like, my mom has always told me I'm Italian. Do I really need to do a 23andMe? It's pretty fascinating. It's just like knowing one more level of yourself. And personally, I think, you know, maybe there are different lifestyle modifications you can make that help your brain. Maybe what's going on is something else neurologically, like just knowing, like you want to know. It's like when you get sick and you're like, what is this? You kind of want to know. It helps. It really helps. It helps in understanding how to modify your lifestyle helps in understanding, like for me, when I got my diagnosis, I'm like, my whole life now makes sense. Like, I don't feel crazy anymore. I don't feel broken anymore. I understand myself. And so it just doesn't hurt, you know, and possibly there's medication that could help you. I don't know that I would be where I am today had I not learned how to modify before I got my diagnosis, right? Like I learned lots of different coping techniques and lots of things that I had to do to kind of hide it and mask it. And I think that was kind of a blessing because it taught me ways to cope. It taught me ways to like manage myself as opposed to feeling like other people had to, you know, be a certain way for me. And I'm sure I drive my staff and other people crazy, but I tell them up front, like, okay, here's how things need to work for my brain. In order for me to be the best for you, this is what we have to do. And, you know, it's a relief to not have to hide that. It's a relief to not have to feel embarrassed about it. And it's probably a relief to them in some ways that they don't have to guess or wonder. I just tell them like, okay, this won't work for my brain and this does work for my brain. So for example, when my team or anyone for that matter text me something, don't put five things in there. Don't put five topics and three questions because my brain will go and like shut down and I won't even respond to the text. It's too much. It's too much. But if you want to send me 8 text messages in a row and each one of those texts is a separate question or topic, I'm golden. It's like little things like that. And everyone's different. Again, if you think that might be what's, if when I talk about these things, you're like, oh my God, that's me. Go get a diagnosis. Like, why not? Just know for yourself. It can really help a marriage too. You know, it just helps a partner to understand. Like, I think until I had a diagnosis, Brett probably thought it's just discipline. Like, get more disciplined or pay attention. You know what I mean? So that's my recommendation for you. I want you to have a little update on Jess. So Jess, house manager Jess, we pumped her up last week and she went out with us one night and actually stayed up past her bedtime, and all kinds of very eligible bachelors were talking to her, and she's having conversations. So we'll keep you posted, with her permission, of course. I want to thank you for keeping me company. Did I keep you company? If I did, let me know what were you doing while you were letting this play in the background? Were you walking? Were you on the treadmill? Were you cleaning your bedroom? Were you organizing? Were you making the kids breakfast? Were you driving someplace? I really like knowing that. And as always, if there's any other topics you want me to dig into, I sometimes forget to close the loop. And by that, I mean, I bring up a subject and then I forget to tell you how it ended. I know one I have to tell you right now. Okay. So if you follow me on Instagram, you saw that I bought this great dress for date night, but I was driving down the street and I was lost. Because I was going to, long story. So I'm in Miami, I'm driving, I'm lost, trying to find a place. And in my, out the corner of my eye, I see this like window with these beautiful dresses. And I'm like, and I pull over and I go in and I buy a dress. But the dress doesn't quite fit me. And the woman's like, I'll alter it for you for free. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So I bought the dress and I'm like, this is perfect because Brett was out of town, and when he comes back in town, I can do this great date night. He loves a new date night dress. This is perfect. So I, you know, pay for the dress and leave. And then she doesn't give me a receipt. And I don't know where I bought the dress. And I don't know where I was because I was lost. And it was just a tiny little like boutique on a side street. So I'm like, I'm never going to be able to find this place again. And I told that story on Instagram, and a bunch of you were like, what happened? Did you find the dress? I did. Actually, Brett did. So Brett just pulled up my American Express, whatever you call it, charges. And he's like, okay, I found the name of the store, found the dress. So we closed that loop, which is pretty funny. Anyways, if there's some other story I've told and I have not closed the loop properly for you, please let me know. I love you. I mean it. And I'll talk to you soon.